The word of God comes to us this morning from Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 12 through 24. That is the text for the sermon, but I will make reference to some of the earlier verses also in the message. So Luke 14, 12 through 24. You can find that on page 874 in the Pew Bible. Let's give attention to this, the voice of our God. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of our God. May he add his blessing to its reading. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask now that you would come and give us understanding of your word. We want to believe what you have said and live happily under your rule. We want to grow in faith and in holiness and in interest in your desire that the world would hear the gospel of your Son. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us, for the glory of your name. Amen. Please be seated if you would. Everybody loves a feast. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised when they read in Scripture all the food images that picture the gospel of Christ? Maybe you know these words from Isaiah 55, the first two verses. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." Or how about these words from our Lord? This is John 6:27. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Jesus speaks of himself in refreshing culinary terms, doesn't he? "I am the bread of life. Come to me, all who thirst." whenever we take the communion meal, which we will this morning, we feast upon Christ by faith. That's the language we use, and we ought to use it. And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food and occasions for eating and drinking, they give such amazing metaphors for all of God's kind provisions in the gospel. They are rich, they are abundant, and they satisfy the longings of the soul. Like a good meal, they give joy to those who come and eat and drink. And if you know Jesus, then you understand this very well. Luke 14 records three food stories. One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So, lessons about parties told at a party. That's pretty good. The lessons he gave were difficult to hear. They were full of reproof. And they were no doubt shocking to those who heard them. To the host, to one particular guest, and then to all the guests who were there. So let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. So I invite you to look with me and see three things: an awkward moment, a generous invitation, and then a shocking exclusion. I notice a sermon notes page in the bulletin. So if you want the outline, there it is. I'll give it to you again. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, and then a shocking exclusion. So, this awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of a very important man. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests attended. Some Pharisees, some lawyers, maybe others were there. And they were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to visit with him, but to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. You can see it. And I think that you know, when people watched Jesus carefully, they watched so that they could catch him doing something that they believed ought not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call that condition edema now. He was there, near Jesus. I doubt that he was an honored guest because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not wealthy friends and relatives. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered as they watched. What was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the commandment. That's what Jesus taught. Any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man and dismissed him. The host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply. Verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can see that in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low place and be invited to move up than to take an honored position and be told to move down. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there is more. Look again at verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, so this was the host, a ruler of the Pharisees, he said to this man, When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing to say to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited, people who were there listening to his words. Don't be concerned with returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Live in light of eternity. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised, but you do what is right in this age and be patient as you wait for what is coming. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. So this is that awkward moment. Imagine being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. Well, whatever the length, the next words spoken were those of another guest. You can see them in verse 15. Here are the words. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of these next words. Let's not miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, he said to him. The parable of the great banquet, as we sometimes call it, was delivered to him. It was Jesus' response to his comment. And through him, it was told to the other guests. Bread will be served in the kingdom, but there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now, let's take up this generous invitation. And it is generous. It's very generous. The host of the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then had food prepared for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready and everything was in place, the second notice went out. Now's the time. The food is prepared. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they were not good ones. I bought a field and I have to check it out. I bought some animals. I need to inspect them. I have a wife now, so I can't make it. All fine things to do, but they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. They were weak excuses, each one. Offensively weak. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests who were listening to the story felt the insult as Jesus described these responses. The servant reported back to the master and he became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he had made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. True confession time. So you may know that I lived for a time, well, you do, because it was announced earlier, in Uganda, Karamoja, a remote region in the northeast of that country, the poorest region of one of the poorest countries in the world at the time. The Karamojong people were hospitable, they're generous, and they love to prepare food for guests, sometimes at considerable expense to them. Early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him I was coming, but I didn't say that I was staying. But he assumed that I would be there for a while, and his family prepared accordingly. So there I was, with a few of my children, looking at this enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for my family. I was in a hurry, and I really had to leave. A concept unknown to the Karamojong people, by the way, I came to discover that. No one is ever in a hurry about anything, and no one ever feels pressure to leave anywhere. A lesson maybe worth learning, I think. So I thanked them, I apologized, and I took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive that was and made another apology to this family, who in time became very close, treasured friends. We enjoyed each other around many meals after that, so things did work out. But this is how I learned to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality, even if it is inconvenient to accept it, especially when food is prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought in the poor and crippled and blind and lame to fill his table. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everyone come. Anyone come. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want a full house today. There is a tragic end line in verse 24, but before we get there, think for a moment about God's generous welcome to the world. I'm sure you all know that this parable is not really about food, as much as we all love to eat. It is about God inviting people into his home. The invitation is sincere, and it is universal. Preparations have been made, and all are now welcome to enter the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I know you agree. Do you think much about the invitation and the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that invitation to people you see? Do you love being in God's family? I hope you do. I mean, isn't it wonderful being a child of God? I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me and gave his life for me. He's present with me, makes promises to me. He helps me, provides for me, protects me, and guides me. And one day he will bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and all of his people. I am so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you want others to join the family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? And it is a feast. We all feast at Christ's table. We're doing it right now, actually, as we join our hearts in praise and prayer and attention to all of God's promises and commands. It's a feast. Life with Jesus is a feast, a party hosted by the Master. Not that life is easy and comfortable. It's filled with trials. We all know it. We feel it. Jesus promised that there would be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. But there's no need to pretend. Life is hard. Pain is real. And some troubles never go away in this life. And we need to learn to speak honestly about this to ourselves and to our neighbors and to God in our prayers, while we long for the resurrection of the just when all things will be made right. And we will be like Jesus when we see him, 1 John 3:2. And we'll spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with all the saints. But life in this age is hard, and that is precisely why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have him. We have him. Jesus came and died and rose from the dead. He went to heaven and sent his Spirit to dwell in us. And right now, Jesus is representing us in heaven and interceding for all who are given to him by the Father. He is our brother, and not ashamed to say so. That's Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is there for you. He loves your prayers. He welcomes you. Do you believe that? You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it. Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. Maybe you are here and you don't have a friendship with Jesus. You've heard about him, but you do not know him. You are invited to come. Confess your sins. Trust that he died to pay for your sins. And enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and new life that Jesus gives to all who come. You are invited to the feast. Welcome to the feast. Jesus feeds us so well, doesn't he? Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on the parable. There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ. This is how we should understand the mission of the church, of your church, Reformation OPC. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of his Father. We serve so that others would receive his welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. I think that's right. And I think it's why, I know it's why we send missionaries overseas, right? It's why we plant churches on our own continent. It's why you are here in Olympia. To extend the welcome of God to this needy place. It's why 330 churches and mission works in the OPC support others who invite needy souls to come and to eat. When you receive reports from missionaries and from church planters and you pray for them, you can ask God to help them and those who serve with them to deliver his welcome to people in their communities. Because they do participate in the hospitality of God, as you do. And so we pray for all of Christ's servants, don't we? And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out more laborers. And together, we compel the world to come to the feast. We compel them. That's how Jesus put it, verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them. Don't force them or drag them, but urge them, persuade them, invite them, and surely welcome them when they come. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls, ready to eat and to be satisfied. The food is ready. And there's room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while we are all invited, not all will accept the invitation. So let's move on to the tragic end of the text. And a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss the invitation of Christ. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said these words, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." It was a platitude. It's like he was saying, what a day that will be. You know, we'll all be there, we'll be eating, we'll be blessed. That's what he thought. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's invitation. So the invitation to come is generous, but it's also urgent. The hospitality of God is serious stuff. There's a lot at stake. Here's the chilling concluding sentence, verse 24. "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet." Jesus is warning his own people in this parable, the Jews who were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted in their privilege and not in the one whom God sent to save them. That's true. They were invited. All preparations were made, but they, in the main, did not come. John 1:11, "He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him." But there is a broader view in the parable as well. We are living right now in the age of welcome. Christ's atoning work is finished, and the welcome continues. The invitation extends to everyone, and God will welcome all who come with faith in his Son. So the invitation goes out to all, but the warning extends to everyone as well. There are people in our day who think things are well when they are not. Or they think things are really lousy and have no idea how to cope with the problems of the world and the trials they face. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to feast. It is your privilege to deliver the invitation to come. Come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Listen diligently to Isaiah 55, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us. We pray that you would help us to live by it, to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.